This is Winning at Life. Yeah, it's the Daily Wrap. Did you like today? There's more of them in your future. Of course. Hey, we're going to talk about some college debt today, and I want to talk about lump sum options on your pension. How you think about it. I'll recreate a conversation that I've had often. I'm your host of Winning at Life, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995. You can also give us a call from the front screen on the Winning at Life app, or if you prefer text, which I kind of prefer text these days, you can send us a text message from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. I kind of want to do the numbers first. Are you cool with that? Just because it was such a dumpster fire of a day, or
then again? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because if
the numbers,
we almost never do the numbers first, so you know it must be a special day, and special's a generous word for it. The Dow Jones took a big dive today. It was down 600 points, 2.4% in the negative. S&P was down 3%. NASDAQ was down 4.4%. And of course, Russell dropped almost 4% as well. And there's not a whole lot of good news to be had at the numbers page on winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app today. It's a bunch of red.
So the 10-year treasury, we're at 3.104. I'm pulling up that chart, looking at the 5 days. So we've had yield drop consistently over the past two sessions. So you had it yesterday's was open down and moved down, then kind of hit a bottom, moved back up, and then worked its way down. And it opened up about where it closed yesterday. And it was, you know, peaks and valleys on the way down to 3.10%. So what that means is, yeah, a lot of money's flowing into treasuries.
So some of that money that's coming out of stocks is going into treasuries?
Yeah. And much more is just sitting idle. That happens. How about crude oil? Did you see the numbers that came in on inventories, how much they increased? Quite a bit. It's quite a surprise.
And it was
way more than they expected.
Yeah, the unexpected variety when you get this kind of volatility.
Yeah, so we, gosh, what did this just do here? So we were looking at beginning of yesterday, we were at, you know, basically 69.19, 69 and a quarter, right around there on the open the previous day, which puts us on the 22nd. We were looking at 69.57. That was kind of the peak looking at the past 5 days. 69.79 was about the highest point over the 5 day period. And I'm looking at another peak top was 69.69. But today, we're at $66.17. No Saudi effect there with whatever's going on. That has nothing to do with oil. What has to do with oil is our inventories increase. So this fall, cool weather is here, less driving, inventories are building up, and you just have much more going into production. Look, this is a different world when you're seeing the crude oil stay in the high 60s for a consistent period of time. If we go back over the past month, we saw the peak at 76.24, and this was October 3rd.
It's 2 weeks ago, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, in those prices,
3 weeks ago,
there's production going on, and those looking to start up. Let's see, look at a three, and that is our peak. Is 76.24 when we look at 3 months, but we're seeing, you know, on September 12th, we were at 70. On August 30th, we were at 69.46. you know, as far as what was the low in the past 3 months, it was $64. So we're consistently above $60, no matter where you look. We're actually above $64 over the past 3 months. So that's kind of telling on what's going on. And money can be made at those prices. So let's move over and see how silver, well, I want to, Brent crude is narrowed a little bit. Brent came in at $75.68. So the price between those two have narrowed just a little bit. Gold hasn't shifted much with the market sell off. So I guess gold's not the safe haven. Mm-mm. Well, it's $1,237.80. Silver, a little bit of tick up, $14.71. So, you know, I guess some money's went to silver, pushed it up a little bit, but not a big change there.
All right. So when we go to the short sheet, you see all this calamity that's been happening in the markets for the last week or so, I guess over a week now, that we've had somewhat of a bloodbath coming off of our record highs. But the earnings report for the third quarter is now kicking off. And granted, we're just in the first period, to extend the sports metaphor a little bit. We're getting a lot of good numbers here. Some after hours number here. Ford stocks are up more than 6% after hours because they had a great report. They beat on their earnings. Microsoft.
Can I just mention, I was expecting Ford to beat on that. So, good number there for them. And when you look at the price that Ford was at today, that equates to about a 7% dividend. I don't understand how the Ford stock is so
cheap.
They, you know, they're in the truck and SUV business and performance cars, which is the Mustang here in the US. Globally, I guess they have some other stuff, but they're in the SUV truck business and they own it is pretty much what you can say. You know, I know GM and Dodge may argue with that and maybe Honda or whatever, but no, Ford has always owned the truck business and they just make money, produce stuff and make money on everything they build compared to some others that we know. And they're paying on the price, which that might tick a little bit low. So it was 6% increase, but you know, 7% dividend. Yeah. And I own Ford stock and I increased my position by this is personally speaking.
Full disclosure.
I increased my position by 50% today as well. This is what I didn't have any insight or anything. I just, you know what? It hadn't performed well. I'm down in it, but I reduced my cost basis by increasing 50%. Now I'm up 6%, and I sure like the dividend that I'm getting.
So Microsoft turned in a great report. They were beating expectations. Their stock had a big jump. Visa, another one of these big blue chip companies, it's a Dow component, had a great report. Boeing, another Dow component, totally just raking in dough as it stands. So you have all these big guys with these great earnings reports, but stocks are headed the wrong way. And then I'm watching Fox Business this afternoon and I look up and I always have it on, but I had the sound down and I had to back up it up on the DVR because Charles Payne fell out of his chair. It was the weirdest thing.
Another look at earnings. Tesla soaring after hours following the company's surprise third quarter profit and sales beat, making good on Elon Musk's promise that the company would turn a profit this quarter. The electric car maker reporting an adjusted earnings per share of $2.90. That was a beat of a loss of 19 cents. As the Silicon Valley car maker ramps up production of its Model 3 sedan.
So look at that. Tesla turns a profit for the first time. Is this in the history of Tesla?
You know, the way the information was filtering out, and remember I talked on the show recently about that firm they hired to dissect their assembly process, especially on the Model 3. And that firm said if they get everything going on their higher end models, they could have a margin, you know, with all the gadgets. You know, it doesn't have buttons or whatever on those cars, but you know, the loaded versions can have a 30% margin. The base could have a minimum of 10% margin. And by the way, they raised the price of the Model 3 today. The base price is a little more than $46,000. So, and they're at a point regarding, last week we talked about the bonds that are coming due. It's what, around $1.1, $1.2 billion, a smaller one in November, and then we've got one in 2019. They have to get in the business of turning some profits now.
Yeah, this is just where it starts. Now you got to start keeping up with all those debt payments, so good luck with that.
So a surprise profit, you know, I was kind of picking up on that they were going to show a good number this time, and they really, really needed it. AMD shares crushed as weak graphic sales ding revenue.
Uh-oh.
Shares plummeted in the extended session Wednesday after the chip maker's outlook and revenue fell short of Wall Street estimates owing to weaker than expected graphics sales. What do you know about that, James? Graphics sales.
Yeah, they make the chips that you put in some of these graphics cards, and you put them in your phones, and you put them in, different devices.
Visa shares gain on better than expected fourth quarter earnings. Microsoft stock rises after earnings beat. You saw that as well.
Yeah, and what was this? Was this their Azure thing kicking butt again? Their cloud services sector? Because Microsoft is one of these stocks that has been sideways since like 1999 or whenever they peaked out. And then all of a sudden in the last, 2 years, they've started inching up that sales price, and they're saying it's because they're getting into this cloud business.
Well, shares rose 1.5% in the extended session after the company reported a beat on the top and bottom line. Microsoft reported fiscal first quarter net income of $9.8 billion or $1.14 a share compared to $6.58 billion or 84 cents a share for last year period. And when we come back, we'll talk about Netflix next.
All right. Also, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory 504-260-0995. And you're going to hear from my buddy Susan Rosgen from the local ABC affiliate here, WGNO. She's standing by with the question now, and you can be after her. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap.
Yeah, live.
Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Here's the number. Get the phone. Make the call. 504-260-0995. Download that Winning at Life app. You can stream the show, text us, call us. A lot of resources there for you.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
All right, I'm your co-host, James Parker. Sometimes if you're in the New Orleans area and you turn on the TV, you may see me filling in on a local news program called News with a Twist. And one of the talents that is sitting in the stool next to me on these episodes is the great Susan Rosgen, who has called in to ask us the question. Hey, how you doing, Susan? Welcome to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Thanks, James. I've been wanting to call in for a while now because I'm really concerned about my dad. He's 87. He's slowing down. He's in pretty good health. He still gets around. He still drives, which is a danger to himself and others. But anyway, I have a couple of things that he signed years ago in another state, and I'm not sure I'm really covered to be the one who makes the decisions. I have three brothers, all of whom have financial issues, are not financially stable. And my dad has about $2 million that he said he's going to split four ways in his will, which I have not seen. But I'm really worried about making sure that I can be the person that guides things after he dies.
Does he live in another state?
Yes, he lives in Wisconsin. And I'm looking at two pieces of sort of legalese, Gregory. One is, it says durable general power of attorney for the state of North Dakota, because in 1985, he lived in North Dakota. And it says this power of attorney is durable as described in North Dakota Civic Code, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't live there anymore, and neither do I. It says that my mother will be his attorney in fact, and yet she passed away in 2013. It says, if my mother should pass away, I am the alternate successor attorney in fact. And if I should die, maybe with him, we travel a lot, an accident or something, my twin brother, Richard Rosgen, would be the attorney in fact. Does that, just to start with, Gregory, does that sound like something that will hold up no matter what his will is?
I'm a financial advisor, not an attorney, and I just want to clear the air on that. It sounds like you're in position to be the one in charge of that. Doesn't mean somebody could object to it. That's why we have attorneys everywhere to handle all right. these objections and disagreements there. With that said, you know, as a part of our total wealth authority, we have Wes Blanchard, which deals in succession, estate planning, and entity structuring. He's someone I would like to run that question by to make sure, because he's in Wisconsin and this state's in Dakota, you mentioned?
North Dakota, yeah, in 1985.
Yeah, and there's and if there's not another document that kind of says the previous one goes away, it sounds like you're in that line of succession stated on that document. But I would rather somebody that, you know, writes these and deals with this and successions and so forth to make that ultimate judgment for you. And that's why we have these resources.
Okay. Well, my brothers, by the way, I love them all dearly, but they just struggle, and I'm worried about that. And I don't know if my father has put in the will. I haven't seen the will, but I don't know if he's put in something to the effect that I am the executor or trustee. Is that another attorney question?
You have or haven't seen the will?
I haven't. He just tells all of us, and yeah. I believe him. I mean, he's doing great in the market, and he's been in it for, you know, 80 years practically.
Okay. But his health is pretty decent. He obviously is okay. He drives. You talk to him on a regular basis. Are you going to be seeing him during the holidays?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Is that a total family gathering or something that you'll likely do?
Well, we'll all, the boys and myself will all be there. We've sort of tried to rally around him since our mother died. But I often talk to him privately. But he always says, oh, I got everything, whatever. And how I pulled these two documents away from him to just kind of have, I don't know. They're practically yellow. They're so old. The second one I just want to tell you briefly is the power of attorney for health care. And this was for a particular hospital, thankfully in Wisconsin, where he lives, dated 2004. And again, my mother was the primary health care agent. Now I am the alternate healthcare agent. And I sure hope that if he or I, we travel together, since my mom died. And so I would hate to get in an accident somewhere that isn't this particular hospital in this particular town.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's gives you the power at that hospital in particular town, but everything being normal. And when those days come, it's likely that he goes to that facility or urgent care, but if it's emergency room, it sounds like he may end up there. I would just, and sometimes it's just a certain wording in these documents. You're kind of giving me an overview, but you know, I've seen wills that they gave an overview and it sounded really good, but you know, the wrong word here and there, and that changes everything. And when you see him, and the reason I was asking family is, being you're likely the executor, whether the others in the family know that or not, you know, there's kind of two conversations to have, and it might be one with him where you can, you know, get a picture of those documents so you have an idea of what's there and have a conversation with counsel that would help clarify any of the language in that that's problematic or not, and then you can address it with your dad, being he's still of sound mind. This is the time to have those conversations, even though he doesn't maybe want to, but but it's better to try to have it than wait for something to happen and not have clarity on that. And that's where families get into disagreements, because I always kind of say, Susan, that when the money gets on the table, it all changes. And then having that, you making the medical decisions when necessary, because what it does is its emotions take over. And even though you might know what your dad wishes, you're still going to deal from an emotional standpoint, having to make that decision for him. And this example of where I had a relative that was having to decide whether or not feeding the tube for their mom. And everybody clearly knows she was not going to have anything to do with it. But this individual said, yes, I want her to be fed. And the mom fought it. And I showed up and just had a side conversation. Is now just think about what, just step back, pause, and think about what you're doing. Because emotion had taken over. And when they thought about it, yeah, they changed that. So that's all these things that are going to be happening in your family. And we don't want decisions made based on money and not necessarily solely on emotion.
I have just one more quick question on the same topic. Are you free for?
Yeah, we got a few more minutes before the break.
Okay. My dad owns his home. My mother and he paid it off. It's a beautiful home. It overlooks Lake Michigan. I mean, it's not a mansion, but it's a nice home. And I don't want the home. I don't know if one of my brothers wants one brother's like really attached to the home, but he works in Chicago. He doesn't live there. What would the will should say something about our home, right?
Probably.
We don't want to get taxed or whatever.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing about inheriting real estate, real property, is you get a step up basis. And let's say he paid back in the day, $25,000 for the home, and it's worth $500,000 today. At the value on at date of death is going to be a step up basis. So let's say it's worth $500,000 at that time, and later down the road, it gets sold for $550,000. The taxable amount is that $50,000 increase there. Now, being that somebody might want it or attached and he has $2 million, it's the kind of splitting the money. Some of his stock or cash portion would make up for him taking the house there. You know, kind of most things we say, most people, you know, your kids don't want your house, but that sounds like something people might like. View of the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Gregory. And I think the really big takeaway that I'm going to do first when I get home and see my dad away from my brothers to have this kind of conversation is I'm going to take photographs on my phone of whatever he's got he's got a little safety deposit box, kind of a little fireproof safe that's never locked. I mean, you know, there's a lot of problems there, but none of us has ever gone in to, you know, go creeping around in his stuff, but maybe it's time that I find out what's in the will.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my mom passed a few months ago, and I've got two sisters. One sister I let take the lead because she was there involved. I live in another city. And we were on the same page. We had another sister that wasn't on the same page. So, you know, what I did was listen and then interject. And we all ended up on the same page and it all worked out good. But that's one reason you might want to have that side talk. And then you know how to approach your brothers for a good outcome.
Yeah. And if you want a state attorney to look it over, we can point you in the right direction. And don't feel bad. Have a fireproof safe that's not locked either. Mine doesn't stay locked. I don't even think I have the keys. All right, that's the great Susan Rosen from News with a Twist on WGNO. You can catch her tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, your wallet's favorite show. Hey, you want to know your wallet's favorite app? Yeah, it's the Winning at Life app. Go to your app store. Download it. You can text us, call us, email us from the show. We've got a you can catch our podcasts and a lot of other resources there. Hey, get the phone, make the call. 504-260-0995 if you'd like to do as Susan did last segment, call and have a conversation and receive some guidance there. Now, prior to that segment, we were kind of talking about earnings. And one of the things, you know, I mentioned we're going to talk about Netflix when we came back. So here we go. Shares of Netflix sank 9.4% in afternoon trade today, putting the stock on track to suffer the biggest one-day drop since July of 2016 and a fall into a second bear market in 2 months. The stock has shed 17% since October 17th. And we know last time earnings was, they kind of like everything went well on that. So at the time, I don't know why it's selling off, but it, you know, being tech has been hit over this past few days, it is being affected a great deal by that. As far as some recent news on the company, the company has issued $2 billion worth of 10.5-year junk bonds this week, meaning, yeah, they're kind of paying high interest rate. Because of
why do they have to get junk bonds?
Yeah, that I don't have information on to explain why they're considered higher risk. It just could be their overall debt that they're holding. Let's see, with the US dollar portion paying 6.375% or more than double the 10-year treasury note rate. The stock had closed on August 17th at $316.78 a share, or 24% below its July 9th record close of $418. Many market watchers define a bear market as a decline of 20% or more. The stock then kicked off a new bull market when it closed on September 27th at $380.71, or 20.2% above the August 17th low. It rose a little further on October 1st before turning lower. The stock, however, how gloomy that seems, it's still up 57% this year. So what is, if you look up volatility, probably has a Netflix description there, because that's what it is showing. It is volatile. So you've got to have some tolerance there. But when you're up that much, or if you've held it a year or two, you know, you're up significantly, and to have this volatility and it is still up 57% year to date. So that is some crazy movement.
Yeah, so it opened the year at $196 and then more than doubled that to get to that 418 number.
Yeah. It's killing it. It's earnings beat, revenue increase, clients increase, what they're doing globally is working. So I still think a long-term outlook is up from here as well, is my thinking on that. And this show, remember, is once again is for educational information and entertainment purposes. This is no stock discussion, is a recommendation to buy or sell. And I personally own Netflix as well, but because I own it does not mean you should go and buy it. You know, because I believe there's a number of things that have to be made in a decision to make a buy, and us having a discussion of it isn't there. Boeing stock surged, adds over 100 points to the Dow this morning in pre-market trade. So they beat. Alexion stock rises. We had Freeport beat as well.
Is that of the
Travelzoo didn't. Yeah.
Fruitcorp Mac Moran.
And let's see, who else did we have? And we were talking about. So that's kind of some of the rundown. We had General Dynamic tops profit estimates as sales fall short. I guess, you know, guess we got to use some missiles and stuff and whatever they build.
I think that Saudi arms deal is still good for now.
So yeah, I think they're going to be fine. That deal's still going to happen. Sirius XM, you know, all of you that, you know, have that access or subscription to that, they were up 2.5% after the company beats third quarter expectations. So that was positive to see. And I guess Tupperware is doing good globally. Earnings and revenue beat expectations there. UPS did not. And Burger King, parent restaurant brand's earnings fall short as well. And guess what? AT&T missed profit expectations, but revenue beats. So they were down a bit today as well. So I'll kind of just call it, that's our coverage of earnings today, unless you have something on that.
The only thing that comes to mind isn't any more coverage of the stock and its price, but just the name that Netflix has already. It makes me sort of bullish on the stock because it's, I don't think we've actually realized how ingrained this is in our society and our culture already. If I have a person and we start talking about a TV show, like a Netflix TV show, hey, do you watch Ozark, or hey, do you watch, I don't know, one, F is for Family? The next question after we have our discussion is, wait a second, I have another human being in front of me who has Netflix. What else are you watching? It is now the discovery of other Netflix shows. And it's weird because when I was growing up, there was only three channels, maybe four. So there was no discovery of shows. There wasn't, oh, The Cosby Show, I've never heard of that. Or, oh, Roseanne, I'll have to check that out.
Because we have so many options on good storytelling.
Amazing storytelling that is brand new. This isn't stuff that's trudged up from 20 years ago. It's like, oh, well, I never saw Twin Peaks, so I guess I'll watch it now. And our society and our interpersonal communications are adapting to this. And Netflix is basically a conversation piece that you can go to, like the weather now. You know, like if you're just, you have nothing in common with the person next to you, but boy, the weather's nice today. Remember, it was really hot like a week ago, but it feels like air conditioning outside. Netflix is one of those things.
We're at a business meeting and went to lunch in Jackson, Mississippi on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Let's see. What is it? Pig and Pint.
Yeah, the Pig and Pint.
And the Fondren. That's our second time to...
What's the neighborhood called? Is that the Fondren neighborhood?
Attend the barbecue there, and it was awesome. And we sat at a bar area in the restaurant that we had sat there before, and same guy there. And we didn't have this conversation before, but... I don't know how it evolved in that, but we ended up having a Netflix discussion. And is there anybody, you know, that I've not run in this, like, what is Netflix? You don't get that. It's like everybody knows and everybody watches. And yeah, we were talking about Ozark, and you haven't finished. I did. And this gentleman that we were speaking with, he's further behind than you, but you know what? Everybody loves the storytelling in that. And there's so many others there that we've talked about.
And you can rope your friends into it. You used to not be able to do that. You used to, if it was 1989 and you know, you were all excited hanging out with your friend, you're like, hey, did you see the season finale of Miami Vice? And they said, nope, missed it. And you're like, well, I guess you're never going to see that. Well, no, now if you can say, all right, we'll go back and watch that, and then we can talk about it. We'll have something to talk about. And it's like shows that have been dormant or that have been out there but not on my radar for years are now coming up on the radar. Like Supernatural is on season 13. My wife just started watching it last year. She's getting all caught up with all her friends. It's a whole new thing, and it's beautiful. And Netflix is entrenched. And as long as they don't screw it up, they're going to be here. They have the chance to be here for a long time and be huge.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have that sense and feeling. It's a long-term brand.
All right, let me go to the – I take the coin. I flip it over to the other side. I'm going through Twitter today. And yesterday was Drake's birthday. He turned 32. Happy birthday, Drake. You know, the rapper. Mm-hmm. For his birthday party,
over the weekend. He had a 2000s theme party. So it was about the year 2000. And so he had rented this space and decorated it basically like Saved by the Bell or something. But one wall, Gregory, you would love this. It was the Blockbuster wall. It had the little shelves with the little cases for the VHS tapes on it. And none of it didn't have any actual boxes up there like with movie titles, but just all the Blockbuster cases were lined up on shelves. And everyone loved it and was taking their picture in front of it. They screwed it up. Wow. They could have been Netflix. All right, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning it live. Yeah, it's the Daily Wrap, your wallet's favorite show. You know, invite some friends. Go to our Facebook page, Winning at Life. Go to mine, Gregory Ricks. Like, connect, you know, do all that. Share it with your friend. You can share the Winning at Life app with your friends as well and get connected and become a part of the Winning at Life nation. Get them hooked on winning with their money. I like that. But you can still get the phone to make the call, 504-260-0995. You saw where I had a congressman I sent to. Was it Ken McCarthy, Republican?
Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he had, what was it? Build the wall, enforce the law. Build the wall, enforce the law.
Yes, eat the food, lose the weight. Yeah, it's that easy. It
cracked me up. I had to even back it up to hear him again. Did he just do that?
Build the wall, enforce the law.
Yeah. Okay, beginning of the show, I mentioned a couple topics I was going to talk to you about. And we're going to cover this a bit further tomorrow as well. But, you know, the conversation keeps coming up in the news, and it doesn't get touched on too much, but it's this college debt. All this borrowing of that.
I'm so excited to hear the first story you walk in with, Gregory, of the person whose Social Security check has been garnished from student loans. Because we know statutorily it's possible. But one day we're going to get a call or someone's going to come in your office and have the situation. And I can't wait.
Yeah, because in a few weeks back, we covered kind of the age groups of how many people have loans and what the size of that book of loans looks like. And yeah, that day's coming that if they're not making payments, and I don't know, I've heard some big numbers on the amount that's in default, and it's pretty big out there. And these things do not go away. You can't file bankruptcy. And it just, you know, we were having a conversation on Monday that this was brought up, and you know, and I, at that time, I kind of defined it as people aren't just borrowing money to take care of their tuition. They're doing other things with the money, and which I defined it as they're financing college lifestyle or standard of living. I kind of just, it would be college lifestyle is what they're financing because they're not living on the minimums, just getting by, but they're living the lifestyle and they're going to have to pay later. And one thing they didn't do the math on, and it's not a lot different than retirement. When you talk, you know, one of the key questions is how much do you think you need for your world to go? And I'll ask that differently. How much are you going to need a month to pay your bills and everything to go well? And that's a kind of a bottom line question. Oh, I don't know. Well, tell me what your outflow averages on your checking account, because somehow you bring money in and it flows out. And that's typically done by checking account. So if you know that bottom line number, then you kind of know what your net need is. So if that's kind of like, I need $4,000 a month to pay the bills, but in 2 years, it's going to go down by $1,000 a month because the house is going to get paid for. So that takes 12,000 off that. So now we're at 36,000 net. So what do we need on a gross number? You're probably, I'll add $4,000 to that. So you're needing about 40 on a gross number. So what in assets does it take to generate that? Well, from investable assets, you know, you need at least $1 million. Oh, but I've got a pension from the military. I'm going to be full retirement age at this point. So then those factoring, because those other sources of income, reducing that. So you can figure out what it's going to take. And, oh, I don't have enough money because we can't generate the income to cover that. So then that's kind of a spend down. So on the other way, when you're borrowing this money, they're not looking at, well, what's the minimum that I need? I've got to stick to that. And maybe work on weekends or something. You know, did you work going to school when you were going to college?
Yeah,
I did too. I had several things going on, take odd jobs, lawn mowing, you know, flipping cars, whatever would generate money.
I waited tables and I was a mover.
I was and a mover.
A mover.
I had some friends that was movers.
It's great money.
I couldn't do that.
It was a horrible job, but great money.
Yeah, but it was horrible. So if they start factoring like that, and then they should look at how much are you going to end up borrowing over that 4 years, if you can get it done in 4 years, and hopefully so. 5 years could wreck you financially. But when you think about it, well, I'm going to need $15,000 a year. I'm going to have to borrow that. Some might be 20, but you know what the math is. That's 4 years. That's $60,000. And we haven't added in the interest. And they're going to start wanting payment shortly after you get us. What does that look like?
Well, I know.
And then what do you think you're going to make? That comes to the next guy. Because how are we going to pay that? Well, I was wanting to get married to this girl when I finished school. Well, I don't know. Can you afford a place and a car to get to work?
I know you can't afford a honeymoon.
No, that's not happening. You can't afford the ring unless you're financing it in your lifestyle college loan.
Yeah, just a little more debt. Who cares? Well, here's a scenario I saw far too often is people are finishing college and these big loans are coming due and they have $60,000, $80,000 and they know what their payments are going to be and they can't turn around and get a job that's going to support their lifestyle and this big student loan debt payment. But if they go get their master's degree, then they don't have to start making the payments yet.
And then you've compounded the mistake there. I've had many people I regret doing that because that just grew the loan so much and the compounding of the debt. And we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, but this needs to be an extended conversation when somebody's doing that to figure out what it's going to be and how are you going to pay for it? And can you make money in that profession to do so? You know, we even heard a story about somebody working at Ingalls Shipyard, making $60,000 a year, living at home, out of high school.
Yeah, was he 20 years old?
Yeah. And making great money and has upside there, working for a company that has great benefits. And he's going to try to have, I think, $200,000 saved in, 4 years? Maybe it'll take him five. But really, talking about being from 20 to 25 and have a couple hundred K on hand, that's serious stuff. The other topic I was wanting to talk about tonight is having a lot more conversations about pension lump sums. And I was asked a question today that was interesting because the gentleman has a option that he can take a lump sum versus the monthly pension income. And he was saying, well, you know, if you take the pension, what about inflation in the future and higher interest rates? How does that factor in to it? And let's just say his 401k was three times the size of his lump sum pension option. And I said, look, and the percentage based on the lump sum offering, the monthly check that he was going to receive basically is an annual payout of 5.5%. And I said, that's a pretty good number from a guarantee creates a stable base and nobody can mess it up. You're not going to turn it over to some guy that's not a fiduciary and have mistakes or have a market crash or what, and affect that money. But that, I said, in this sense, it locks it down. I said, you have three times that amount of money to put to work that have a combination and create balance between equities and safe money, but have that money working that can grow in the future, that can create that income generation that is going to increase over time and keep pace with inflation. So this isn't just a simple conversation. And when you're going to have that with somebody, and next thing they do is, yeah, you should take the lump sum. We're going to do this, this, and this to it. We got to work through the math, and it's an extended conversation. And I'll say it ends up being about 50-50, but a lot of times we're saying, you know, use this as the guaranteed portion of retirement and then put the other money to work on top of it to fill that need of increased income in the future. Now, if you're wanting to have conversations like this, I do have a daytime job. I'm a financial advisor, money manager. We're going to help you find where you're on the path and where you're headed. All you've got to do is call the office, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go get our podcast so you can listen to the show on demand or listen to all of our shows live, even when we're preempted by sports or news. All right, and you can RSVP for the next Gregory Ricks Live, which is coming up November 14th with the app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Have a good one.